This episode of Remnant Radio is brought to you in part by our sponsors at Kairos Classrooms. Have you ever thought about learning a biblical language as a supplemental tool in your biblical studies? Well, Kairos Classrooms offers real classroom environments with classmates and a live instructor who can help teach you biblical languages, both Greek and Hebrew. You need to check out Kairos Classrooms today. The price for a single semester is crazy affordable for anyone, so check out the links in the description and use promo code REMNANT to get 10% off Kairos Classrooms. Check out Kairos Classrooms today. Discount code REMNANT, REMNANT, to get 10% off your semester.
Okay, guys, welcome to the wonderful world of Remnant Radio. It's going to be a great program. We're talking about prophetic reviews. We're just having a good old time cutting up, laughing over here before we go live. So it's going to be an exciting program. You guys stay tuned.
You are watching The Remnant Radio, a show where we tackle history, theology, and the gifts of the Spirit. My name is Joshua Lewis. I'm the pastor of King's Fellowship in Ada, Oklahoma, together with my friends Michael Miller at Reclamation Church Denver and Michael Roundtree at Bridgeway Church OKC. We set aside time every week to discuss the gifts of the Spirit. Things like, how should we pray for the sick, and how do we interpret tongues, and should we believe all the prophetic words for the new year? If you're looking for a charismatic podcast with practitioners who are actually doing the stuff, this is the show for you.
Welcome, everyone, to Remnant Radio. We are back on a Wednesday reviewing prophetic words for 2024. Today, we're going to be reviewing prophetic words from Troy Black, from Kat Kerr, and from Lance Wallnau. We decided to put these to groups of three because in former episodes, we were ambitious, attempting to do four prophetic words in a single video. Couldn't squeeze it. So I think this is what we're going to end up doing. Just putting all the disclaimers out on the front end of this show because we want to make sure that we are quick and to the point on it. We want to let you know we are charismatics. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the gift of prophecy. We're not saying that people shouldn't do prophetic ministry. When we're looking at our people and we're doing prophetic reviews, we are typically conceding the ground that these people are believers, they are Christians, we're trying to weigh out their words. I think there are some things that have been said, prophetic words that we've reviewed, where the doctrines of people are so egregious that sometimes those things are in question, but we want to kind of let you know and show you how to weigh and test prophetic words as charismatics who give prophetic words. We believe in the gift of prophecy. We're just trying to be obedient to 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22 and 1 Corinthians 14:29, telling us to weigh and test prophetic words. So if you're interested in that journey and you want to learn how to test prophetic words and listen to guys who, well, frankly, take this seriously, but don't take ourselves very seriously, this is going to be the program for you. Michael Roundtree, are you jogging under your desk? Do you have like a... You remind me of that episode of The Office where Stanley is trying to get a workout in with his legs and he's lifting a ream of paper. That's what this is reminding me of quite a bit. What you doing there,
buddy? You know what? I can see. I remind you a lot of Stanley, don't I?
You do.
Actually, who on The Office would I remind you of, Josh, really?
Just an old Uncle Remus. That's what Andy calls Stanley in an episode. I don't know what to tell you. We started the show with the giggles pre-show. Miller, do you have anything to contribute to the program before we start watching videos? You excited? Do you have any qualifiers you want to let people know about? Also, your mic's muted.
Thank you so much. Only just know that on the front end, we speed the videos up so that way we can get through these words. So if it sounds like they're talking really fast, that's us, not them. We sped up the video. So it may not sound like a normal person. So don't criticize them for that reason, although I'd understand why you might want to. So other than that, we love prophecy, which is why we do what we do. So I think this will be the last one we do as well, right,
for the season? I hope so. I don't like doing these. To say on the video speed, that's my fault, guys. I sped them up and probably sped them up too much because I listened to everything sped up on YouTube. I would encourage you, if you're like, you know, in advance, this is going to be too fast for you, this is your warning now. In the bottom right section of YouTube, there's a little gear icon that you can click, whether you're on a phone or a desktop, and it will let you slow down the video. So if you get to a place and you're like, this is too fast, you can actually slow it down to like 0.5 speed or 0.75, and then you can make it faster if you're crazy. Anyway,
when I was teaching myself Spanish, I would listen to YouTube videos on like half speed in Spanish, and then English would be 2x speed. So everything was either slower or faster. Anyway, okay. Let's talk about
to this
prophecy.
Day, Michael speaks really slow Spanish. So let's dive into this program.
Yo hablo.
Okay. Your Spanish is way better than that. Okay, let's dive into this first episode. Troy Black was on the list last week. We didn't get to him. So I want to dive into a review of his this week, starting off with Troy Black.
I believe it's a corporate word, but I believe it's also going to apply on personal levels and individual levels as well. But then the second thing he gave me was a word of knowledge about a sign that's actually going to be taking place around this Christmas season. And then the third thing he gave me was a word of knowledge about something happening in the political arena in the United States this next year in 2024. So that specific part may not apply to everyone, but some of it will still apply. But I believe this general word is going to apply to everyone. And I'm actually going to share that first. So I heard the Lord say, you're entering a season of renewal. And then he said, renewal of the saints. Talking about those who know the Lord personally. God is wanting to renew hearts again. He's wanting to renew minds. He's wanting to restore even old passions and old things that we have allowed to die away because of, and please hear this with a heart of grace and heart of love, but what I'm hearing is because of our unbelief in the wilderness season. Listen, we all go through moments of doubt, but God is wanting to restore and renew the faith that we started with. He's even wanting to increase that and give us a greater faith for the season ahead. You're going to see why in a second, okay? I'm going to continue reading this word. I heard the Lord say a precious element, a precious structure. And he said, the church body. He's talking about the church saying she's precious. And he said, she's precious to me. She's my bride, a structure I oversee and watch over in every way. The Lord is just saying this. Stop doubting that I'm watching over you. Stop letting that lie creep into your life. It's not true. I'm keeping watch over my bride, and I'm keeping watch over those individual parts of my body as well, each and every one. And then he said this next. He said, I oversee the change happening within my church. I oversee and protect what's mine. So then I looked up that word element because I had this impression that it meant more than just a precious element itself. And what I found was two definitions. Number one is a group of people of a particular kind within a larger group or organization. And so this could be referring to what is actually referred to in the scripture as the remnant. It could be referring to, you know, the church is a large organization, but that doesn't mean that everyone in the church knows the Lord. But I believe the Lord is referring to those who truly know him and are truly seeking his will, who have truly given their lives to Jesus Christ. And then also, this is amazing, y'all. I also saw when I looked at the word element that it's in church use, it's used to refer to the bread and wine of the Eucharist. So the pastor will say, now take the elements, right? You know, a lot of times it's just juice and a wafer. But I believe the Lord is saying there's multiple meanings behind this. The next thing he said is, I'm coming to get her. He's talking about the bride. He said, I'm coming to get her. Jesus is returning. It's going to happen. But then he said, but until that day, I'm changing her to look more like me. So we are in the transformation process. And then he said, my motives, my heart, my victories, my servant-minded attitude. I want what's actually right for her, not what she thinks is right. And that's speaking to someone today. And this season of renewal that the Lord is talking about, I believe, is going to be focused on the unity of the Spirit. It's the unity that we have because we have the same Holy Spirit living inside of us and walking with us. And the Lord is saying this right now. It's going to become so evident. Who are those who are actually walking by the Spirit in this season? Because the ones that are going to be able to be unified despite their differences. There's going to be an element of unity there. There's that word element again. I heard the Lord say this next. He said, there needs to be a movement toward acknowledgement and away from self-centeredness if she, talking about the body, is going to thrive this next year and a half. He's talking about 2024 and into 2025. And then he said, because things are coming to challenge her. See, things are coming to challenge the body. He said, and she will be ready if and only she can manage her own issues by taking them to the foot of the cross daily. So what is the Lord saying? He's saying there's a maturing that needs to happen. We have not arrived. And the Lord is saying that doesn't mean everything's going to go your way, but it means you're going to be abiding with the one who has claimed victory over every ruler and over every authority. I hear the Lord saying, if you'll stay centered on this, he's talking about the gospel message. I hear him saying, there's no telling how far you can go in this season. And I see a picture of like a catapult or a slingshot, somebody getting slingshotted forward or thrown over a wall, right? And I just sense the Lord is saying, this is a season of great strides being taken in my body and for my kingdom. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to be opening up doors left and right for those who are centered on my will. And I just hear this question, what is the will of God? What did Jesus say? He said, this is the work of God that you believe in him whom he has sent. And I just sense this from the Lord that I need to say this. Many Christians, we are putting the focus on where we're going, what we're doing, what we've accomplished, what we can add, what we can bring to the table. And the Lord's saying, if you will only put the focus back on me and begin to worship me daily because of what I did for you at the cross, the Lord's saying, it's that simple. And then I heard the Lord say this. He said, break down the walls of self-accomplishment that have held you captive and open up to me in every way. Man, when we start understanding what he's done fully, we're going to open up to him fully and he's going to fully transform us. And we're going to be able to go out empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Lord. And then I heard the Lord say, be willing to acknowledge your need for my mercy and grace in every situation. Acknowledge me and see my victory take you higher. Whew, there's more to this, but the Lord's telling me to stop and say this. Many of my people, I hear the Lord saying, are relying on a repentance-based method of accessing my presence. The Lord is saying, and it's not working. I hear the Lord saying, stop it, my people, stop it, my bride. That's not the way I meant for you to access my goodness and my grace in your life. You're not carrying the weight. You're not coming into my presence based on how much you repent. You're coming into my presence based on the one who already gave all for you at the cross. It's based on him.
Hey, I want to take a quick pause in here because I will forget it because I didn't put it in my show notes. I reached out to Troy Black about this section of the prophetic word. He had said, it's not about repentance getting access. I've listened to, I want to say, 8 Troy Black videos where he talks about the gospel, talks about faith, talks about repentance. He's really about holiness, really loves talking about a logos, I would say a law gospel distinction, though he wouldn't use those categories, that Christ has accomplished all of this for us. And I go, hey, how would you understand? Like, I get that we don't receive power from the Spirit or do mighty miracles of the law through works of the law, right? Like, I get that. But, you know, Acts tells us to repent so that times of refreshing may come to us, right? The apostles say this. And he goes, oh, I use the word repentance. I really should have used the word, what was the word he used? It was like a self-flagellation, like a Martin Luther, beat yourself up, make you, what's the word?
Gazing.
What's the word? There's a word for it. No,
aestheticism,
close.
It's
what Catholics do. They do something to get
penance.
Penance. Yes, thank you. So he's like, it's like this kind of self-loathing. He's like, I just used the wrong word. So point of clarification, he is not saying that you should not repent. And if you don't repent, you won't get the Holy Spirit. He is all about faith and repentance, turning us towards God and receiving more of his Spirit. So I had to ask him because I was like, that's an orthodoxy problem. And he cleared that up. So back to the video.
Sacrifice alone. The Lord is saying his sacrifice alone, not yours, not your repentance. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all, and I just feel the weight of God's glory on that word right now. Somebody needs to get this. I hear the Lord saying this. Stop listening to those who are telling you opposite of that. It's not helping you daily. I heard the Lord say this next. He said, this is enough. Why are you trying to look other places for fulfillment? What my son did is enough to fill every space, to mend every issue, to fix every problem, to open every wound in every single heart and bring healing. And then I heard supernatural, unequivocal healing. I looked up that word unequivocal because I did not know what that meant when I heard it. And it means leaving no doubt. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying this, that repentance-based lifestyle where you think it's your ability to repent that gives you access to my grace in my throne room. The Lord is saying that leads to doubt because you're never going to be able to do enough to make up for what you've done. You're never going to be able to say it enough. Never going to be able to confess enough. The Lord is saying freedom is only found in my son and believing what he has done on your behalf. But I'm going to move on. So I saw this that same day. I saw a vision of a Christmas cookie. And there were...
Josh, you're muted.
Josh, you're muted, bud.
I was just going to say it's probably good that we move you so that we can see the date of that prophetic word.
Be able to do enough to make up for what you've done. You're never going to be able to say it enough. Never going to be able to confess enough. The Lord is saying freedom is only found in my son and believing in what he has done on your behalf. But I'm going to move on. So I saw this that same day. I saw a vision of a Christmas cookie. And there were molds, like Christmas cookie molds, you know, like the trees and the Santa Claus or whatever. And one of them was like a Christmas horse pulling a sleigh. And one was like a candy cane. And I saw a mold of a piece of holly, you know, leaf and stuff. And I heard the Lord say, I'm molding something new this year. Talking about, and I knew he was talking about 2024. But then he said, starting early in the year and stretching to about midway. So now this is the first half of 2024. And then he said, an unnerving chapter of events beginning with a bridge being built between parties. Okay, so now he's talking about, I believe, Democratic and Republican parties here in the United States. And then he said, functioning as a tool, a community vision from one side meant to disrupt progress they've made toward leaving a good impact. So now he's saying there's this bridge that's being built, but one side is going to disrupt this progress. And there's a vision being stemmed there and growing there in order to do this. And then I heard this phrase, and I don't know who he's talking about, but he said, she's taking over. A vengeance, a part played out. Uncontrollable rage meant to take apart a community. And I knew when it says a community here, he meant believers involved in politics. And this uncontrollable rage is meant to take this community apart. Then I heard this is a pushing back against the recent events in parliament. It's too much for them to handle. So he's saying some of the positives that have happened recently, some of the God-fearing people that have made statements and done things, he's saying, and even prayed publicly, things like that. He's saying it's too much for those who are opposed to that to handle. And then I got this impression that Idaho, just the state of Idaho, may be mixed in the middle of this socially somehow, or maybe a representative from there or something like that, that they would have something to do with that. But then I heard she's attempting to disrupt the original mode I outlined for this nation, the original structure. Freedom of religion is included in this one. And then I heard cookies are sweet. So he's going back to this mold, this cookie mold thing, right? He said, cookies are sweet. They will pass this off as something delicious and tempting, but it will be a perversion of the original mold I created for humankind. And then the Lord showed me that a sign was going to be happening around Christmas time of this year. And then I got this impression that this had something to do with the Speaker of the House, potentially, and this impression that it had to do with vandalism of some sort, and even a character attack. So that's what I heard, y'all. I would encourage you, with words of knowledge like this, take them to the Lord in prayer, you know, but also we're going to have to wait till after the fact to see what happens, you know, maybe what doesn't happen the way that we thought it was going to happen, but also just like what happens in general and what the Lord is saying through that. Because oftentimes, once a word is fulfilled, you know, a word of knowledge, once we see it take place, the Lord will often speak into that with another prophetic message that has to do with it. So I hope and pray that this word today has been encouraging to you.
Again, some people are complaining, this guy talks too fast. No, I sped it up. It's my fault. Please forgive me. I did too fast. Anyway, just talking about this, is there anything that you guys hear in that? Because I told you that there's a video that we have following up. Y'all, I don't think either of you have seen it yet. There's a follow-up video that Troy has put together saying, hey, I think this is how that word was fulfilled. Here's some thoughts on the word on the front end. If there was going to be a vague prophetic word, such as, hey, this is a year the Lord's going to sanctify his church, super vague. If it was going to be followed up by a specific event, I would take it seriously, right? If the word is like, God's going to see, there's going to be a shaking this year, and there are going to be some people that fall away, and then there are some people who are going to be sanctified, I'd be like, yeah, no duh, that's what happens every year. But if there is like a confirmation to it, like if something, someone were to say, this is a year where God's going to manifest his love over, you know, America. He's going to have us come into a great revelation of his love, and you can expect this to be the case, and you'll know it because there'll be an earthquake on this day in this state. It's like, well, okay, that's actually specific, you know, like that's something that can be tested and test, you know, because I read the Old Testament. A lot of the Old Testament is repent. Prophets are saying, repent, do what's right, don't do what's evil. And they're vague words that are always true of all times. But then there are those specific predictions that prove some of that. So anyway, I wonder what you guys think. Michael, I thought I saw your lips move out of the corner of my eye, and that means your mic is muted. So check your microphone.
I'm there you good. Okay, so I would say it was all, in my mind, pretty general, except the very end when he predicted the Speaker of the House would resign. And there would be some kind of vandalism associated with that, if I heard that right. Is that what you guys heard? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the one specific part. But the rest of it, like, you know, the Lord is sanctifying his bride and he's emphasizing unity. I mean, I can appreciate he's pushing people toward obedience. He's pushing people toward worshiping God and a cross-centered life. I think that's beautiful. Josh, I appreciate that you reached out to him. I think that shows Christian charity. I think it's important that we, you know, love believes all things. So we want to think the best of folks. I appreciate that you did that, that he says he misspoke. I was writing it down whenever that happens, like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound good. Whenever he said, you know, like, we're too focused on repentance-based access. And immediately my mind went to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's like, repentance is very closely tied to access. Acts 11:18, God has opened a door of repentance to the Gentiles also. So it's, you know, again, associated with access. And I do think that sometimes people, especially in like a free grace movement, repentance is very much downplayed. And the reformers brought this vocabulary to it where there's a difference between the instrumental cause of salvation and the meritorious cause of salvation. Meritorious meaning like it was merited and earned. It was merited and earned by Jesus on the cross. And a lot of people in the free grace camp will therefore sort of like poo-poo on repentance and be like, we don't need that because, hey, Jesus did it all, you're already saved, and so on. But they're not being precise with their language, and or they're missing nuances in the scripture, which leads them to heresy, to say that you don't need repentance. And I don't think Troy is a heretic, but what he did say, and even with the misunderstanding, I wish he would go back and edit his video, because now lots of people have seen that. Lots of people might get the wrong impression from that. But he said it over and over again. It wasn't like one slip of the mouth. So I think that was pretty rough. I hope he goes back and edits that. I believe him when he says it was a mistake. But yeah. I think that's a big mistake to leave up. I would definitely want to see that changed. So really, the only thing, I guess one more thing that, you know, he did mention like the bread and the wine and the Eucharist. And I have noted before that I am observing a shift in the body of Christ, especially amongst low church evangelicals who have not historically highly valued the sacraments. And I'm starting to see a change there. And I talk to a lot more evangelical pastors who have had a theological shift on that, and churches that are shifting their practices. And so maybe this is talking about that. You know, on the other hand, like, I'm saying that, and I'm not saying it as a prophet. I'm just saying it like I see it happening. So the only thing that's like, that I could really, really test in this, I think, would be the Speaker of the House situation. So that was the word of knowledge. And to your point, Josh, if that word of knowledge proves to be accurate, it does lend credence to some of the other things that he said.
Yeah, let me pull up the full script while Miller is giving commentary, because he did say, vandalism, but he actually qualifies it to say, which could be this. Like he, like, I think he said character assassination or something. I'm going to pull up the exact script, but Miller, I want to hear your thoughts while I'm doing that.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't have many more thoughts to add to it. I think the, you know, overall, it's a very general word. And so it's really hard to weigh and test something when it's so vague, and it could apply to every year. You know, we have these kind of things happening. Yeah. The only thing I would say is even Michael, your observation that people are taking communion more seriously. Obviously the three of us at our churches, we do communion every week. But I think you could observe that. I don't think that's necessarily prophetic. That's something, you know, if you travel around or if you talk to other pastors, have a relationship with other pastors, you're going to see that already. And so that trend has been happening for some time. I would say even with the early stages of the Acts 29 network, we saw sort of a resurgence and return to more liturgical practices, especially that of communion. And so, yeah, it's just hard to tell. Obviously, the sign is the one that I would pay attention to because that's specific. And maybe it does on some level give credence to all the others. But even then, I know, Josh, you mentioned that sign should then cause you to take more to heart with the rest of the word.
Yeah.
And I kind of go yes and no. The thing is, there's not really much that you would need to know there outside of, like, this is simple stuff that we see every year. What about this year makes that somehow more significant? And then regarding the repentance thing, it seems like what he's trying to stress is that bit in Hebrews where he says, you know, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we might find mercy in time of need. So there's not this, like, I've got to do all of these things before I can approach the throne of grace with confidence. I get what he's trying to say. I definitely wish he had worded it differently. I'm glad he spoke with you about that.
Yeah. The only reason I knew to reach out to him to begin with is because I had watched enough of his videos where I'd heard him talk about this over and over, about repentance and living holy and living right before the Lord. So like I knew enough to know, he probably doesn't mean that, but let me ask him just to make sure. And yeah, I misspoke is what he said. So the exact quote in the script says, and the impression that I had to do with was a vandalism of some sort, and even a character attack, or I think maybe even a character attack is the way that reads. So he does go out of his way to say it is this or that. He wasn't quite sure what it was. And here's what I would encourage the viewer to do. And this is because we're, me and Michael, and I've said this on here quite a few times, we shouldn't give vague prophetic words. I've just said it full stop, you know, no qualifiers. But then I've just been reading some of the Old Testament prophets. I would just encourage you, go read some Old Testament prophets and ask yourself, would you hold them to the same standard? And I would just go, there are some of these words that look vague, and they're only, you should only take them into account because there are some kind of testable sign that accompanied them, and or they had been vetted as prophets of the Lord. And I think that there may be something, and I'm not saying that this is, I mean, I'm willing to test this out on air. You guys push back against me, wrestle through it. Like I'm kind of groping along the walls like everybody here. But I think what's important though is if there is like a season where, I don't know, God is going to cause sifting to take place. I wouldn't put it past the Lord that there are moments in which wars, rumors of wars, civil wars, invasions, bombs, terror attacks, like horrible things happen, that in moments like that, there's great shifting between light and darkness. You know, a prophetic word that's like, hey, God's going to sift believers in this season, you know, over the time where Nero is, you know, taking power. Like those kinds of prophetic words may seem vague from year to year, but on the back end of them, you'll always know that they're, you know, factual based off of some kind of event that was predicted, or because the year bore witness to it. So anyway, I just want to say that I think that we have to have the same kind of standard that we would see in the Old Testament prophet to some extent, while at the same time, like, not just accepting every vague prophetic word that's like, there's green lights and red lights this year. And you guys help push back on me on that. I just want to make sure that we're being careful.
So let's think of a person that we know had a track record of accuracy in the way he prophesied. Go listen to John Paul Jackson's. He's now passed on, but John Paul Jackson would give crazy words that were very specific, some of which are still yet to happen, which is also true of prophets in biblical times. But when I hear him prophesying, I don't hear these kind of vague things near as much, I should say.
Sure.
So
I don't know. Michael, here's what I'm asking, though. I'm not even asking, can there be no vagaries? Because again, my general statement is no vagaries. However, I would say if there's a vagary marked by a historic, testable prophetic word, does that then give us attention to go, well, maybe this is a season where I need to be careful about the things that are going on in my heart and make sure that I go like regularly repent these to the Lord if there are going to be these kinds of moments of, you know, testing that the Lord is bringing upon us? Like, would not the confirmation then lean credence to what would seem vague?
I don't know. Again, so when a prophet does this, like Isaiah, you know, a virgin shall give birth, he names what the sign is, and he also names what that sign is to confirm. In this word, that's not what I'm hearing. I'm just hearing God said, and Lord said to me this, and also there's going to be this sign. He doesn't attach the sign necessarily to everything he said before it, at least not that I could tell on the word, and everything he said before it was super vague as well. So even with Isaiah, and I think about the signs he gives, he also mentions really specific stuff beforehand. So
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of, Josh, do you have, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but do you have examples in your mind of vague prophecies like from the Old Testament? I mean, usually they would prophesy like, you know, Edom is going to fall, Assyria is going to fall, or Assyria is going to go attack some people, or there's going to be a second Exodus. And you know, they would say those kind of things, and it actually did all happen. If there was a future prediction, it was specific, but sometimes it was hundreds of years removed. Maybe you could look at Daniel 9, it's super cryptic, and even in hindsight, we're still kind of like, oh, I think it means this. And I consider, yeah, Daniel 9 like the Bermuda Triangle of Bible prophecy, even though I think I have an interpretation of it that is...
That's a book title, accurate. Buddy. Yeah. You got to keep that to yourself. You shouldn't be telling people that.
So, yeah, I mean, Daniel, it's awesome, but we don't have time to get sidetracked. But do you have prophecies in mind that are vague, Josh?
I mean, I remember reading Micah and walking through chapters of Micah going, okay, the Lord, word of the Lord is with me and not with you, because I call people to repentance. And I was like, that's like true of all seasons at all times. There, I don't know that I can find one right now on the spot. Let me play the follow-up clip with
to qualify with, repentance in this word.
Yeah, I mean, well, like the words are like, hey, repent, believe, you've done evil, Israel. It's like, it doesn't take a prophet from the Lord to know that Deuteronomy says don't whore after other gods, right?
Right, but what the Hebrew prophets would do is they would have also followed up with, because you didn't repent, you're going to have hell to pay really soon, because these bad dudes are going to come take you over. I mean, that's Jeremiah. He's like, Babylon's going to come and sack the place. Like, they're going to take you away.
He even gives timelines.
Yeah.
He gave timelines, 70 years.
And I hope you guys hear me out. I am not saying vague words, let's accept them all. I'm saying if the vague word is accompanied by something that's testable and specific,
I would say it's better.
It would be better. Like, if it's just a giant vague word, I'm like, burn it, dude. I don't need it. Like, why would you share that? Like, it's not helpful at all. But like, if it is accompanied by something that's measurable, should we not take heed to it? Like, hey, yeah, Judah, judgment's coming. Like, when God tells, you know, like, I'm trying to think of some of the specific kings of the Old Testament, but he's like, hey, you know, or even Ahaz, right? Like Jezebel's husband, right? Ahab, right? Not Haz. Ahab. He's like, hey, I'm bringing judgment on you. He repents and he goes, okay, it'll happen to the next generation then because you repented. Like, he was like the most evil king ever. But like, the word of the Lord comes and he's like, he responds to it. And if God is saying, hey, like, run to the cross, repent of your sins. And we're like, you know, God's saying that every year. And then there's a moment that like, oh, whoa, that really happened. Like, and again, I'm not even saying that has happened. We still need to test that portion of it, of what he thinks the fulfillment of this word is. I'm just only saying that I think it leans some kind of credence. That's all.
Yeah. So here's a question that I have. I was trying to look it up really fast. Josh, my question is about, when did he prophesy about Kevin McCarthy resigning? Because there's sort of like a staged fulfillment of that, whereas like in December, McCarthy formally announces his resignation early December. 31st of December. It's effective. But October like 3rd or like super early, he was called upon to basically, he was going to be ousted. So
yeah, so the way that this works,
kind of like a polite way to say you were getting canned. So go ahead and just quit.
Mm-hmm. So his word was like, that he would be removed from Congress and that he thought it was the Speaker of the House. And so it seems to be the kind of connection. He was already with the Speaker of the House at the time this prophetic word was given. I believe he was removed as the Speaker of the House. So October 6th, I believe, October 3rd, 6th, somewhere around that period,
yeah.
He was confronted, removed as the Speaker of the House. This prophetic word was given, I believe, in November. I paused the video and backed it up for that reason. And then there were interviews around October 6th where he was saying, I am not leaving Congress. It's not going to happen. He had interviews with CNN, MSNBC, CBS, Forbes. I mean, there's a bunch of people quoting him saying he's not going anywhere. Don't worry. He said that he's staying here. The only people who ever reported that I can find on the internet, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist anywhere else, was Politico. They're the only ones who said there were rumors that he would leave. Everyone else, the vast majority of the media, says he is going to stay in Congress. Anyway, so do you guys want to play Troy's follow-up to see if...
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
This is what I shared in that video, that there would be a Christmas sign. So I shared a word of knowledge about something happening in the political arena in the United States in 2024, and I shared a word of encouragement for the body for this new year, but I also shared this word about this coming sign around Christmas of 2023. So specifically, I shared this message. You're entering a season of renewal of the saints. So that was like the start of that general prophetic encouragement. You can go watch that whole thing if you want to. It's a very encouraging word. But around the 20-minute mark in that video, I shared a vision I saw of Christmas cookie molds having to do with Christmas time. And then I talked about how there's going to be a pushback against recent wins for the kingdom of God in politics, such as, and I specifically mentioned, the Speaker of the House praying publicly. Okay, so if y'all don't know, the Speaker of the House just changed recently, and it was Kevin McCarthy, and now it's Mike Johnson. That happened, Mike Johnson went in on the October 25th, so it's very recent. I shared this video, this prophetic word, on November 22nd, okay? But Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, who I think was only in that position for about 10 months, something like that, was still in Congress. He's still part of the House of Representatives when I shared that video. But okay, so watch what I shared next, okay? The impression I shared was that the Lord showed me a sign was going to be happening around Christmas time of this year, and it would have something to do with the Speaker of the House. I shared that very specifically. So that was the word God gave me. A sign was going to take place around Christmas time of this year, having to do with the Speaker of the House. And I also shared it had something to do with potentially vandalism, which I believe was a metaphor for a stain on somebody's character. And then also it had to do with a character attack. Okay, so Speaker of the House, big sign happening around Christmas of this year, character attack, stain on somebody's character. That's what was shared in the original word. Y'all know what happened if you've been watching the news. For those that don't, this is what happened. This came out on December 6th. This was only about 2 or 3 weeks after I shared that word. But this is an image posted by ABC News, breaking news. Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy announces he will retire from Congress at year end, which is around Christmas time. Now, the actual timing of that, when that actually happened, was just on the 19th, I saw an article released saying Kevin McCarthy formally submits his resignation from Congress. That was the 19th. It's a 2-week notice. So guess what? 2-week notice before the end of the year, Christmas was right in the middle of that. So God said this was a sign that's going to be happening around Christmas. Christmas is right in the middle of when he formally submitted his resignation and when his time in office will be over, okay? And he did not announce it until, it wasn't announced until the beginning of December, a couple weeks after I shared that prophetic word. Okay, so if y'all don't know who these people are, this is Kevin McCarthy right here. He's a former Speaker of the House, replaced by Mike Johnson. He's the one that prayed and kind of got in trouble, right, in Congress for praying publicly and all that kind of stuff. But what is the character attack? Okay, so if this is a word from God, and God was specifically saying there's going to be a character attack involved, this is what also has been coming out. And there's a lot more than this in just one headline. But here we go. Kevin McCarthy takes parting swipe at Matt Gaetz. I don't know how to say his last name. In final interview as congressman, history will judge him. So what ended up happening was essentially, this is me like giving my perspective. Essentially, Kevin McCarthy started taking swings, you know, and actually he got in trouble for taking a literal swing, I think, at somebody at one point. But he started, taking these pot shots at people on his way out, and people started pushing back. And essentially they got into a huge, fight between each other through the media, and through these interviews or whatever. So it says McCarthy said that the 8 Republicans who joined Democrats to oust him helped create this mess. And in another article, he specifically called Matt Gaetz psychotic. So he started to attack people's characters. And guess what? They pushed back and they started to attack his character as well. In this article shared by The Guardian on December 6th, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to resign from Congress at end of year. It says, Republican consultant from California, Mike Madrid, said about him, Kevin McCarthy's story is an epic tragedy about the pursuit of power, the compromise of values, and how power reveals character. Okay, what did God say? A character attack. This guy is saying, he's specifically saying, look at his character. That's why we ousted him. That's why he didn't last very long. That's why he had to go. Now, I'm not here making a political statement. I honestly don't know very much about this guy. I don't know about his time in office. I don't know about what he did. I don't know about his views. I'm just here sharing what they're saying in the news, and I'm here sharing what God said ahead of time. And then he goes on to say he could have been remembered as a great statesman who did the right thing at a critical moment, but he will go down as the weakest speaker in history. Okay. What was the other thing? It was vandalism, right? What is vandalism? It's a permanent mark, a permanent stain on something, on, in this case, on somebody's character or on their record. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Okay. Another man, Joe Walsh, former right-wing congressman, now anti-Trump commenter, said, "I served in Congress with Kevin McCarthy. He has no core. He's a hollow man. His only reason for being is the pursuit of power. His only guide is his personal ambition. And, excuse me, in the end, this was his undoing." So I'm not here to make a statement about Kevin McCarthy personally, okay? I don't know which side I would fall on this whole thing, because I haven't done the research and I personally just don't have an opinion at this moment. But this is what people are saying, okay? And obviously he's pushing back. There's this huge character attack going on back and forth. So this, I believe this is an accurate word from the Lord. I believe God is speaking very clearly about what was happening.
Okay, so if I'm going to take this like hyper literally, right? His prophetic word was about the current Speaker of the House. Now, he doesn't say the phrase current Speaker of the House. He says, "I believe this has to do with the Speaker of the House." At the time that he gave the word in November, the Speaker of the House was not McCarthy. It was Mike Johnson, right? So you could say by that judgment that that is false word, if that's the way you want to look at it. If you go, hey, maybe it's a little vague, and he was talking about McCarthy in that video, because, again, the video was released in November, and he was removed as the Speaker of the House in October, then... you know, there's a little bit of muddiness there. I think also this is a guy who has been in Congress for 10 months. It's just like unheard of, man. You don't go to Congress, hang out there for 10 months and then bail. So I don't think anyone saw this coming. Someone saying, you know, Fox must be, prophetic too, because they saw it coming. I looked for articles. I searched it. I did not see that article. Happy to, you know, retract that. But it seemed as if every public article I could read, with the exception of the one that I mentioned, Politico, all said that he was going to stay in Congress. Anyway, what do you guys think? What are your thoughts on that leading up to it?
I don't know. He had already resigned. Character assassination is a mainstay in politics. I saw someone wrote that, which was my thinking too.
Sure.
Vandalism as a symbol of a character stain. I mean, you pointed out when he shared the word, he said vandalism or character, I think is how he said it.
Yeah.
So he left that open. I mean, maybe I don't think that like the lost are going to fall down on their face and worship God and say, "Wow, this was an accurate prophecy." I don't think that would happen. Like somebody might if they realize that Isaiah predicted that a man named Cyrus would be king long before a man named Cyrus even existed. So, like, I don't think that would happen. And I think they might go, I don't know, maybe. And that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. I'm probably... I think Troy by and large means well. I just kind of ask the question, what's this unto? Because when I look at Jeremiah prophesying a future events, it's unto repentance, or it's unto, you know, not fighting back against the Babylonians because they're going to come and take you away. And it's unto not living a short-lived 2-year term and thinking that that'll be the end of it. Instead, he's like, you know, plant vineyards, settle down. It's going to be a while. Like there's usually some reason for giving some sort of foretelling, and it's unto a response from the people of Israel, whether that means repentance, whether it means acceptance and encouragement and comfort in the midst of it. I can't see what this is unto, even if it's right. His other words were so vague. They happen every year. I'm going, what is this unto? I don't see it. So, I don't mean to be rude. I hope I'm being kind. I'm trying to be as charitable as possible here.
No, I think that's right on, man.
Yeah. I mean, we say this often is just like, you know, if Agabus is predicting a famine coming over the whole Roman world, it's so that the churches will gather up stores and share it with one another in generosity. And there's always, like you said, an unto. There's a reason. And I think a problem with charismatic prophecy is we're like tickling curiosity. That's not the purpose of prophecy. It's not just to get you to go, ooh, ah, you know, like there's a reason for it. And maybe for Troy, he would say the reason is to confirm the other words, which are super encouraging. I think I struggle with that a little bit just because the other words, like Christ is always purifying his bride. Like his bride is always precious to him. Unity of the church is always important to him. And so, I struggle with it a little bit. I'll be honest.
Well, I'm glad that the video, I don't disagree with either of you guys. I'm glad that the video gave us a springboard to talk about other issues. Like when we're testing through prophetic, we have to ask questions like, what does the Bible say, right? Like, does this compare against scripture? Is it wrong? If it contradicts scripture, it's not God. We got to ask another question after the comparison to scripture. We have to, ask the question, like, did the word come to pass? Like, it doesn't look exactly like that word came to pass, but even talking in terms of like vague words, when would those be acceptable? When would those be okay? And I think, hope that the audience who's listening will go, well, that means I need to go look back in the scriptures. I need to go read some Old Testament prophets. I need to could this chapter make it through the sniff test? Could this prophetic word from this prophet make through the vague word? And then help us think through, help yourself think through what would be the qualifiers necessary for me to know that this is the word of the Lord. And I think that's an important thing that all of us need to do. So, but I stand with you guys. I don't think that there was anything particularly overt about this word. I don't know that it applied to McCarthy at all. I think that the, am I saying McCarthy or McCartney? I forget the pronunciation of his name. Yeah. So all that to say that it doesn't seem like it kind of applied to him. But again, I want to be charitable. I want to be kind. When I look at Troy's words, they do have a lot of Bible in them. They do have a lot of faith and repentance in them. So those are all my qualifiers. Get them out of the way. The next two, I think, will be much quicker, guys. I think we can burn through this. Kat Kerr or Troy, not Troy Black, Kat Kerr or Lance Wallnau. What do you want to do?
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
And he's aligning us up, those who will follow his plan, who want life and wants justice, liberty, and freedom. He is aligning us up to be in charge, to have places of authority, to have some of the biggest businesses, the most prosperous places. Even the wealth is being reshifted around. So I'm just telling you, this is a time to celebrate. And God has never stopped saying that. And I will not stop saying it either. And you will see it happen, that Trump is president now, not in 2024. People, get that out of your head. You think God needs some help? God's not changing his timeline. Trump will be president for the next 4 years in the White House.
And he's not waiting for a cleaner, that's not to say, well, let's wait for 2024 because it'll be a cleaner deal by then. No, no. In fact, if Trump had been elected, if they had not stopped counting votes, God knew they were going to stop counting votes, and he let it all happen because it was part of his plan. If Trump had just been quickly reelected, we would think we had done so well praying, and God got in, and all of that corruption would have just gone underground. Would never have been brought to the surface, and people have to pay the price for all kinds of evil deeds done in darkness. And God's saying, it's time right before this to come to the surface.
You're right, and the reason for...
Okay, I want to pause here. This video was released November 18th. The reason you're going to see commentary of like, oh, that's a heretical, whatever. I didn't put those bubbles in there, the little clocks and things that they put in there. I didn't put any of that in there. I had to use this video because Elijah List was removed from YouTube. They kept getting copyright strikes. They kept getting like misinformation. And like, I mean, the kind of stuff. This was released November 18th of 2020. And she's saying, like in November of 2020, that Trump is still president, and you're going to see he's going to be president all this year. Anyway, so if you see stuff in there that seems a little hateful and unnecessarily aggressive, I didn't put it in there.
Or the great exposure, and then when you hear the word exposure, that means something's going to be uncovered. God reveals the good things, but he exposes the wicked, the bad, the defiled. And because God is setting up a platform for the next 100 years, there you go. I don't mind prophesying that far into the future because I've already been there, and it doesn't matter what you think about that either. I'm a prophet. When God says and shows me, he takes me in person to these places and shows me. He doesn't ever talk to me in symbolism. He never has from the time I was a little girl. He always would show me exactly what he meant. And so it's necessary to have each of these 4 years with the person God needs in the White House. He said, I will be in the White House in 2016. He said, I'll be there for 24 years, welcomed with open arms to shift things in this country, to shape this nation for God's purposes. That doesn't mean we'll just be one big religious tent somewhere. That means we will prosper in every single area of those seven mountains. Yeah, you need to check out these people. You need to check out Johnny Enlow and Lance. They both talk about the seven mountains. These are people you can trust that are very Bible, that love God, that know that Trump has been God's choice. So he needs Trump now in 2016. He needs him in 2020. Pence will sit in 20. He'll be the next one after Trump for 8 years. And whoever Trump has raised up under him and Pence together, whoever they know or Pence will pick for his vice president, will be president without a break, people. No vacations in there for the next 8 years after Pence will be. He will be president for 8 years. And God, in those 24 years that he needs for that platform to free us of anything that would hinder the body of Christ, creativity, new inventions. And let me tell you, I'm wearing today my NASA shirt. There it is.
All right.
the Space Force people, and God wants space. I tell you why he wants space to be, he wants you to go check, wants us to go check it out. We are the first ones, another first in the world, to actually have a part of our military called the Space Command, the Space Force. He wants us to go out there and look, because one of the greatest fuels we will ever have in this world will come from space. So we have to go out there and explore.
He asks a follow-up question. Are you saying, like, gasoline, jet fuel, a new fuel will be found in space? Guys, this is going to be a hard one. For you, those of you who are watching me, for those of you who are watching me who see me smiling, it's hard not to chuckle or laugh, okay? Because I don't want to come off mocking or scoffing, but at the same time, it's so absurd. It's hard to not, like... None of this happened, right?
Upsetting is what it is.
It's nothing has happened. She hasn't apologized. Elijah List hasn't, you know, published anything. All they do is say, oh, you know, YouTube, they're just full of misinformation. And it's like, my guy, like, you're causing insurrection based off of prophetic words. And again, I'm not weighing into politics. So those of you who are like, it really was stolen. Great. Cool. Whatever. God would have known that. It's irrelevant, right? So they kept prophesying. What?
Used to see Cole's comment. He said, you can't say she's trying to be vague, I guess. I'm like, that's true.
She goes out of her way to say, you know, God always speaks to me clearly. You know, it's never kind of cryptic or like allegorical. Like, it always happens just as he says it is. And I'll tell you what, I think that is a good way to know exactly whether that was the word of the Lord or not, because it didn't happen. And none of the things that she said would happen have happened. I've said this before, and I don't mean to be mean when I'm talking about Kat. I want people to hear me, okay? I think she's not well. I think she's probably a little senile, and she's just not well mentally, and I wish people would stop handing her a microphone. So as much as there might be a kind of delusion taking place, you know, people are saying, oh, this is demonic, the way she's acting is demonic. I think she's just not well. That's my way in. I'm not saying it can't be other things, but it does seem to at least be that.
For someone who has traveled to the future, she really doesn't know the future. She says, I've been there, as in 100 years into the future. Well, maybe she skipped all the middle intervening years where there weren't sitting conservative presidents, which she prophesied would continue through Trump, through, I think it was 8 years of Pence. And then through into Pence's VP, who would become president. I mean, that's a lot of conservatism, and it hasn't happened. It's wrong. She claims to have traveled in the future. That's I don't know. Sometimes, again, I am from Texas. We called it good old fashioned horse sense. You haven't traveled into the future. I'm sorry, you haven't. And you know, one of the things, whenever she says, "I don't see in riddles, I see clearly." It seems to be an allusion to Numbers 12, which puts Moses above all the other prophets who don't see in riddles and mysteries and dark sayings, but speak with God face to face. Like, that's Moses against all the other prophets. God says, this is my guy. And he's on a next level. And so she's basically saying she's Moses. It sounds to me like. And then
she
makes
claiming Deuteronomy 18 authority, right? The kind of authority that Moses seems to walk in, him being elevated above other prophets in that way. Yeah. And actually the fact that she's speaking all these words that aren't coming to pass.
And not repenting.
When you equate yourself to this eschatological figure like Moses, that's a hard one.
Yeah. You got more thoughts, Michael?
I don't think she's sick. I think this is bad.
You know, well, we'll run into this.
She's definitely bad.
We'll run into this on the next video too. The mention of the seven mountains, which is classic dominionism theology, and it's a specific branch of theology. And I just always tell people that when discerning a prophetic word, you want to pay attention to bias. Some of it can be theological bias. Sometimes it can be political bias. We had both in this case, and so. If somebody is mixing in their politics and their branch of theology, I'm not calling dominionism heresy. It's not my theology. So when you say, thus says the Lord, and baked into that is God validated my personal theology, I'm kind of like, I don't know. That just gets in real dangerous territory. You know, Joseph Smith felt like God validated his theology too. I just think We need to separate the office of prophet and teacher. And teachers unpack theology, they exegete scripture, and prophets are to never contradict that, but they shouldn't use a prophetic platform to teach their personal theology and to push that on people. You can't say, thus says the Lord, I got all my theology right. Like, you just can't do that.
Yeah. No, I think, so to what Michael was saying earlier, I think what is happening is demonic, whether, again, the Bible talks about doctrines of demons, whether that means that they're inspired by demons or empowered, as in like the lie is able to be maintained through the doctrine of demons, the demonic empowerment. I think that whatever's happening is demonic, right? The way, I mean, if you watch the video, I did one on traveling to heaven where we talked about Bob Jones and Todd Bentley and Kat Kerr, and she talks about going to heaven and there's entire kingdoms in heaven that are made of jello. You can eat mailboxes, you can swim in pools of whipped cream. There's cows wearing overalls, I mean, driving tractors. It sounds fun, sure. But like driving kids to prophetic art classes. I mean, it's just, it's complete absurdities. There's Christmas town in heaven. I mean, it's just nuts. And again, so, you know, people are going to say, oh, you're calling her senile, so you're saying it's not demonic. And I'm like, no, it's demonic. I just don't know if the source is demonic or the fact that it's being propagated like the way, I mean, 400,000 views on some of these Elijah List videos. Someone asked us, I think it's Nikki asked us, hey, you know, what do you think about Elijah List? Run. They published this. They filmed it and then they published it and they didn't pull it down. Get rid. Anyone who's on Elijah List, don't trust any of them. Don't nothing. I mean, if they're going to work with someone who does this kind of thing, it's absurdity. I mean, guys in the hyper charismatic movement are calling out this nonsense. It's nonsense. Do not tolerate this. It's garbage. I would run from Elijah List, anyone on Elijah List. I'd run from, you know,
Josh, be careful with the anyone on Elijah List. We don't want to do guilt by association. The fact is there are people that may show up on there that are actually correcting the kind of stuff we see on the Elijah List. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, so here's how we'll qualify it. I don't
know
how someone,
it's not reputable.
I it's not reputable. I don't see how anyone in their right mind would want to associate themselves with an organization that has done such horrible things. I stand by that. Like, I get the guilt by association. I'm not, I understand. But like, yeah, it's true that they may not know. I think that's fair, Michael.
I know, we both dislike what they're doing so much, but I just want to be careful not to discredit everybody just because they were asked to submit some article, even though they never done research on Elijah List.
That's fair. I think that's all fair. I think what I'd love to see the body of Christ do, though, is say that's too far. We're not doing anything with this. Like, I would love to see the body of Christ gather around and say, we talk about prophetic integrity. We talk about like walking with, you know, truthfulness. We talk about, you know, oh, we got to police our own movement, but then we publish Physics of Heaven, and then we publish, you know, Courts of Heaven, and we publish, you know, Robert Henderson's next book. And I just think it's disingenuous and wrong. I think it's just bonkers that these people are going out saying, hey, look, you know, integrity, integrity, integrity. I'm like, guys, stop working with these publishers. Stop working with these YouTube channels. It's just nonsense. And I think it's the only way that we actually get any progress in the movement. I think you're right. Remember, we can't go to the other end to such an extent that it's guilt by association. Because then,
well, here's the thing, Josh. We did the number of people right now that are asking us about the Kansas City stuff. Like, we've got to do a video on it. We definitely want to respond. We've been waiting.
We're going to. But
here's the thing. What he did and what's coming out is so egregious and so bad that people were gonna do the guilt by association. Well, you had him on your show and you just deleted these shows, and it's like, yeah, we did, because we think it's bad and we want to publicly acknowledge that it's bad. So I just want to be careful with the guilt by association thing. You know my heart.
Yeah, no, I do. I think people with any kind of discerning mind at the same time go, people didn't know. His own staff didn't know at times. You know, like there are these situations where it's like, if you're walking with, you know, the disciples had Judas on their team, right? Like, oh, well, they had some kind of association with Judas. Let's cut them all loose. Like, well, no, they didn't know that he was stealing. They didn't know he was a thief. Right. They didn't know he was going to betray Jesus. And when he did those things, they removed themselves from that situation. And I think that would be the right thing for people to do who know these things are going on. If you're watching this video, you're working with Elijah List, remove yourself from Elijah List and publicly state that you shouldn't have worked with this organization. That's all that I mean to say. And maybe I should have just left it at that.
Yeah. Judas kind of removed himself, but we get your point.
Yeah. He excommunicated himself. That's
too,
right.
Too soon.
Too soon. Do you guys, do you have anything else to say? Is there any?
Nah, there any I think poop? We got to keep rolling.
Is there any brownie
with
in that poop? Okay.
Oh gosh, there it is.
Little poop in the brownie is usually the way the phrase goes. Let's watch this last one by Lance Wolnow.
Hello, Joseph Z and all our friends out there for the word of the new year. Now look at this. I look like I'm going time traveling in my own special little space vault here. You can see me on my way to a meeting in Atlanta. And I believe that there's something about the lines of demarcation. It's good to observe this time of year. You know, it's funny because I was in Jerusalem for Rosh Hashanah, which would be the Hebrew New Year, and I love double dipping. I used to get in lines for revival twice, you know? If someone's laying hands, I'd sneak around after I got off the floor and get double dip. Anyway, so this is the double dip. If you didn't quite get your life aligned with the year, whatever Hebrew year we're doing right now, you get a chance in January to get it right. Gentiles follow the Jews anyway, so the Gentile calendar. But no, there is something about the marker of this year. It's important. This is the year Bob Jones' prophecy. Things get delayed. They never happen exactly when you think they will. Remember, Bob Jones had a prophecy about the apostles coming forth, the Chiefs are going to come forth when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Didn't happen the first time, and didn't happen right away the second time, but it's happening right now. Things are a little slow, but they're happening. And the apostolic is coming together. Oh, we're hitting an asteroid field here. We're okay. But the apostolic is coming together, which is going to have an impact on the prophetic. What the apostles have lacked is unity. Donald Trump named a number of the apostles, by the way, church, mega church pastors and leaders. And he said, which one of you speaks for the group? And they all laughed because we make fun of the Catholic Church because they have a pope and all that. Well, every church is a pope. We have more popes than that the Catholic Church has. They only have to deal with one. We have roughly 300,000. That's how many churches are in the United States. There's nobody listens to anybody else unless they're part of a network or they voluntarily do so. But what I want you to hear is this. This is the year in 24 when we're going through an open door. There are many adversaries. The devil knows where that door is. He doesn't want us going through it, but we're going to go through it. And we're not only going to go through it, but the apostolic unity is going to create a new threshold of activation for the prophetic. And so I'm calling out to all the prophets to be ready for the mobilizing of the ecclesia. America's in the state isn't because the gates of hell have not been assaulted by the church. God has had to use what we call common grace vessels. Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, every now and then Bill Maher stumbles into the truth and he stumbles out of it. These are the influencers. Now we have the Charlie Kirks, like I said, the turning points, but we also have the Steve Bannons. And we got another echelon of guys like maybe like 20 or 30 million downloads. We kind of talk to a more Christian element of the conservative movement. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to be seeing a different alignment this year. And it's going to be the grace of recognizing spiritual authority. It's going to be more division than there's ever been. It's going to be more opportunities to be carnal than there has been in terms of like speaking from yourself or being defensive or whatever. But the wise person will deal with their ego and their flesh and allow the Lord to move them into position. Because when the door opens up and the open door, the enemy's going to hit whatever comes through. Let God go through first so that you're protected. If you go through those doors with the flesh, you're not going to experience that. I think I'm at the church and or at the hotel. I better end this broadcast now. But you got the idea. It's the year of apostolic unity, activating the prophetic. The prophetic on the campuses is going to go to a different level. We're going to see revival on campuses because the ecclesia is being formed. It's not revivals. It's the church coming together in the Seven Mountains, in the corporate world, in the business world, at a whole new level in Washington. It's going to be a different kind of ambassadorship. The church had nothing really to tell Trump before. I think that something's going to change. And I'm saying that almost like Trump will be there, which is weird because I haven't got a word on that. But everything I'm saying is I'm remobilizing the church for the purpose of being a firewall in the nation. And that's for the purpose of the world, because God wants to buy time for the sheep nations of the earth. We cannot let China grab Taiwan this year. We can't let Russia make too much hay out of the victory they're having in the Ukraine. We cannot allow Iran to go unchallenged in the Middle East. All these things, the world's going to fly apart with the spirit of lawlessness, feeding the path for the Antichrist to rise, but not yet. It's the hour of harvest. All right, I'll talk to you a little bit later. God bless you. I've arrived at my planetary destination.
This guy is a cornball. He's just trying to be fun. And he's being a silly guy. We would do the same thing. Do you guys want to? You guys want to go first?
Okay. He did mix his theology in again. I mentioned the seven mountains. He mentions the seven mountains. Talks about sheep nations versus goat nations. That comes from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus separates the sheep to the one side on his right hand, and then the goats on the other hand, the left. And one school of theological thought views that, since he uses the word nations, that's like political nations and like nations that align with Israel versus nations that don't align with Israel. And so I don't like someone's theology because that's debated and very much not every Christian believes that. And so I don't like debated theology on secondary and tertiary matters brought into one's prophetic word. I think it's bad. Outside of that, I think the whole word in one form or another is affected by dominionism, by by the whole seven mountains. And he talks about politics and he talks about business and he talks about the church. And so there's three of the mountains right there. I have trouble with it. And he mentions Bob Jones and the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, like the rise of the apostles. I hope to see the Lord raise up more and more apostles. I don't believe that, here at Remnant Radio, we make a distinction between what you might call capital A apostles, like the 12. There's no replacing them. Their names are written on the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem, just like the 12 names of Israel are written on the 12 gates. They have a unique place in history, but there are other apostles in the Bible, such as those in 2 Corinthians 8:23, more like messengers of the churches, missionary types, church planter types. Yeah, may the Lord raise up more and more of those apostolic figures. I do think that word apostolic has become so mushy in charismatic circles that it just means someone inherited a network of churches that they have Zoom calls with their leaders once a month. I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'd say you're an apostle. I don't know. I hope that more apostles are raised up because that means more churches planted and more evangelism done. But I would say the word does not resonate with me. And I think we have to take into account the hyper politicism that he has displayed, especially in just supporting Donald Trump and attaching God's name to that. I don't want to put this out there because I didn't research this element in advance. It's just coming to me. But do you guys know whether he predicted that Trump would win or not?
I cannot recall that he did.
If you guys know in the chat, then you guys
he was a huge Trump supporter. I don't know if he predicted it.
Yeah, he was a huge Trump supporter, which, it's one thing, whoever somebody supports, whatever. But when it comes to attaching God to it, I struggle with that. And I think he went too far.
Well, I think Lance was the guy who said that Trump was a Cyrus, and that he, I think the thing that he saw him doing was, and kind of looks back on it, after the fact as, the one responsible for getting Roe v. Wade overturned. So this one's hard for me. I know Lance. I've been to his house. I was friends with his son. So I always have a hard time critiquing somebody that I know, but that's kind of what this requires of us. And I'll just say that, at the very beginning when he mentions how we've got 300,000 popes, I'm kind of like, I think he's right about that. I think the charismatic church in large part is, neo-Catholicism, right? We've got, instead of a pope, you've got an apostle at the top, right? So this sort of person who gets the vision from heaven and implements it on the earth. And so this is language that Josh and I have used in the past to describe some of our experience in charismaticism. Regarding some of the rest of the word, it's like college campus revival, cool, let's wait and see. And same, Michael, I have the same opinions as you do on the dominionism stuff. This is Lance's thing, though. For years, he's always been all about getting Christians into places of influence to make our values more like Christ. And so I can see, in some sense, that being a good thing. I can also see where that goes off the rails. Yeah. So I think the tough thing is, it doesn't feel as much prophetic as it does a commentary on dominionism. Unfortunately.
Yeah. So Nancy Alexander Storm has said that he did not predict Trump would win in 2020, which is,
yeah, he did it 2016. I'm looking online. That's what I'm seeing as well.
Okay. And he did call Trump a Cyrus. And I think that analogically, as an analogy, you can say that because, Cyrus was an unbeliever. Whatever one thinks of Trump's spirituality, it's clear that he's not deeply passionately in love with Jesus, and Roe v. Wade was overturned as a direct outcome of his presidency. So, you know,
wow, I didn't realize you're so liberal, Michael. Jeez.
So I think
she's banging that liberal drum over there. Do you think we should have open borders too, Michael? Jeez. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to throw him under the bus. Because when you say one thing, a slight criticism of a person who has not displayed a strong Christian ethic, people just like freak out like some conspiracy theory. Sorry, I'm just playing with him. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so to be clear, we have no record of him predicting about 2020. I'm telling you that I was uncomfortable with the degree of spiritual significance he was attaching to Trump. But, you know, I don't know that he said, thus says the Lord, and was wrong on it. So just count that as Michael's opinion. But as far as the rest of the word and what we saw about that, I mean, it was kind of a seven mountain word. And so he mentioned
the Jewish calendar, Gregorian calendar, in kind of a playful way, but he also seemed to say it was serious. He mentioned Bob Jones. I'm tired. It's certainly with the climate of everything that's going on with IHOP, Bob Jones and Paul Kane prophetic words should be canned. You should just walk away from them. I don't know. And then the fact that like this guy, I don't know. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, you might 50-50, right? He's kind of predicted that that would happen, didn't he? Because, hey, when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that's the Bob Jones word, or at least legend has it. We'll see.
But now it's like the Chiefs win 3 out of 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just keep – as long as Mahomes is the quarterback, we can ride this word out, man.
You're like revival will happen when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Best 2 out of 3, you know? Let's just see where it goes prophetically. No, man, guys, I don't know. Like, I agree with you guys. I don't think this is prophetic. I don't think Lance has given me any reason to believe it's prophetic. Yeah. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Those are y'all's thoughts. Michael, you've got a meeting you got to get to, so I don't want to keep you any longer than I have to. Don't want to commit the sin of Pharaoh. I know when to let God's people go.
We need to let people know about the school.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Michael. Tomorrow, registration for the school opens. So if you guys want to, pursue the gifts of the Spirit in a way that's both biblically serious and edifying, I would really encourage checking out WSSM, Word and Spirit School of Ministry. $200 off if you register with the early bird discount. So that's going to be up for a little while. We really encourage you to check it out. Links in the description for the newsletter. That's the best way to find updates about the course. But you can also go to remnantradio.com. That's theremnantradio.com. You got to put that indefinite article at the front. Theremnantradio.com. And you can find more information about the School of Ministry. Check it out. And we'll see you guys next Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's the last week I'm going to be with you before I go to suffer for the gospel and train missionaries in systematic theology in Hawaii. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I saw both of you crack up. Blessings. You know, we'll see you next time. The native. Want to thank Kairos Classrooms for sponsoring this episode of Remnant Radio. And if you're out there, you've ever wondered, hey, I wonder if learning a biblical language would be a supplemental tool for me to help me in my biblical studies. Well, you need to check out Kairos Classrooms. They offer Greek and Hebrew classes that can help teach you and train you. It's a live classroom environment with actual students and actual live teachers, and they help teach you the biblical languages of Greek and Hebrew. And you need to check out Kairos Classrooms today. There's a link in the description, and you can use the promo code REMNANT to get 10% off. These classes are already crazy affordable, but with the promo code REMNANT, REMNANT, you'll get 10% off of Kairos Classroom. So check that out today. And thank you so much for Kairos for sponsoring this episode of Remnant Radio.